The following broadcast is brought to you by Sons of God International and Freedom Fellowship Church. Hello, and welcome to the prophetic voice of our time, where we focus on the voice of prophecy, which is the testimony of Jesus Christ. Our host, Christina Sasso, is a senior pastor at Freedom Fellowship Church. Let's hear what she has to say to the body of Christ.
Hello, thank you for tuning in. My name is Joshua Sasso. And you are listening to the prophetic voice of our time. As many of you know, Pastor Chris is in the Philippines right now, and God is moving mightily through her, and he's going to continue to move mightily because the Philippines will be transformed just as America is also going to be transformed. But did you know that Jesus called us to be as wise and cunning as a snake? Now, that's a really interesting thing because it seems kind of antithetical to the kind of behavior we expect from a Christian. But this is something that Jesus himself said, was that we, the body of Christ, are supposed to be cunning and wise, like that of a snake. This is what he says to the disciples. It says in Matthew chapter 10, verse 1, where Jesus calls together the 12 disciples, and it says that he gave to them authority to drive out impure spirits and heal every disease and sickness. And then he was sending them out to the Israelites to lay hands on the sick, to cast out demons, and to proclaim this message that the kingdom of heaven is near. And when he sent them out, this is what he said in verse 16. He said, I am sending you out like sheep among wolves. Therefore, be as shrewd as snakes and as innocent as doves. So this creates a really interesting kind of dichotomy where on one side, we're supposed to be shrewd and cunning like that of a snake. And then on the other side, we're also supposed to be as innocent as a dove. We as Christians actually have to learn to balance these two traits because truthfully, not many Christians know how to be cunning and wise in that manner. And this is actually one of the reasons why Jesus tells the parable of the shrewd manager, which is in Luke chapter 16. Starting with verse 1, it says, Jesus told his disciples, there was a rich man whose manager was accused of wasting his possessions. So he called him in and asked him, what is this I hear about you? Give an account of your management, because you cannot be a manager any longer. So the manager said to himself this, what shall I do now? My master is taking away my job. I'm not strong enough to dig, and I'm too ashamed to beg. Aha! I know what I'll do, so that when I lose my job here, people will welcome me into their houses. Okay, so he knows he's getting fired, but now he concocts a plan. So, he called in each of his master's debtors. He asked the first, how much do you owe my master? 900 gallons of olive oil, he replied. The manager told him, take your bill, sit down quickly, and make it 450. So he cut this guy's debt to his manager in half. Then he asked the second debtor, how much do you owe? 1,000 bushels of wheat, he replied. He told him, take your bill, and now make it 800. When the master discovered this, he commended the dishonest manager because he had acted shrewdly. For the people of this world are more shrewd in dealing with their own kind than are the people of the light. I tell you, use worldly wealth to gain friends for yourselves, so that when it is gone, you'll be welcomed into eternal dwellings. Now, Jesus tells this parable not so that we would emulate the dishonest behavior of the manager, right? Because he was a bad manager who wasted his master's possessions. Then he went around, right, and he lied and manipulated so that he would gain favor with people so that when he lost his job, they would take care of him. But what we are supposed to do, as Jesus said here, and this is very true, that the children of the world are more shrewd in dealing with the world than are the children of the light. This is true to this day. I want you to sit back and think about all of the kinds of corruption that have been uncovered in recent years. Think about the way that wicked people use the media and the education system and the political system to benefit themselves. Think of how that they maneuver around all of the regulations and the laws Sometimes they even wiggle their way to be able to get regulations and laws that favor themselves. You see, when one of these wicked influential people decides, you know, I want a specific kind of agenda to be pushed forward, suddenly you start seeing TV shows created, textbooks changed. Suddenly books are showing up in schools that weren't there before. Suddenly lawmakers are getting bribes and pressure from lobbyists to pass laws to further this agenda. Suddenly, when you're a business trying to get a loan, now the banks are trying to push these kinds of agendas. Notice the ways in which the children of the world, they understand the system, they understand the laws, they know how to play the game and manipulate the game and manipulate others to get what they want. And these things have been uncovered more and more and more and more. And meanwhile, when Christians have a mission that they want to get accomplished, we fumble around. We barely know how the system works. We barely know how to get people on board. Instead, you know what we know how to do? We know how to quote scriptures. We know how to pray loudly on the street corners and make a lot of noise. We do not know how to effectively wield our resources in a way that is cunning and wise and shrewd. And this is something that God wants to change in this day, where Christians will understand how to properly wield influence and resources in a manner that is more impactful. It is time in this day that the children of the light should become more cunning and wise than the children of the world. Now, this doesn't mean that we necessarily copy the methods and strategies of the world, right? Just like Jesus is not saying in this parable that we should cheat or be dishonest, right? But we should be wise and understand how to properly wield our position and influence to further the kingdom of God. So I'm not telling you to start bribing politicians, okay? But we should understand how the system works. We should also understand all of the laws and regulations that affect the mission that God has given you. Wherever God has sent you, you should understand the current system that's in place and understand what you need to do to have the most effective outcome for the kingdom of God. And this is part of the shift that's come away from preaching. You see, in the world, they understand that there's a place for preaching, right? You watch some TV shows, and man, there's a lot of woke preaching in them, right? So they understand that there's a place for preaching, but they do more than that. They understand that they've got to get on the school boards. They understand that they've got to get certain laws passed. They understand that when people are hearing music on the radio, that it's slowly inching them in a direction to make them think a certain way. So they will set up all of these pieces over decades to make sure all the dominoes are in place so that the culture will shift in the direction that they want. And meanwhile, on the church's side, what do? We quote a lot of scriptures. Man, we make a lot of noise. We know how to pray real loudly. We have not been playing the long game the same way that the people of the world have been. We haven't. We just think that we can go day by day and, oh, well, thank God, praise the Lord, and then expect things to change. We need to understand that our mission and our message is one that must spread across generations. Some of us will plant some seeds here. Some will plant it in the music. Some will plant it in the education. And these things will compound over time to where there will be a complete cultural shift. And the cultural shift is such an important thing. It has to come before laws. It has to come before our textbooks change, all of these things. And all these things are important. But for example, for a long time, we have in the church, we have this mindset where we try to legislate problems away. Well, we have to get this law passed. A really simple example is something like abortion. Why was abortion permitted by law in this nation? It's because we allowed the culture to go so far away from God. That change in culture caused the law to change. And now, fortunately, the culture is beginning to shift in the other direction. But understand, if we're in a culture where, let's say, for example, 80% of people support abortion, and now you try to force a law that bans abortion in which 80% of people support abortion, even if you can get that law passed, that law will only be there for a short while. Because why? The next election comes and now it's gone. So you cannot just legislate away these problems. You have to turn the needle on the cultural perception of these issues. And in Hollywood, they understand how to do this, right? If they want to move the needle in one direction, they'll be planting seeds for years and years and years where suddenly people think, yeah, this is fine. It's normal. And this is what I've been talking about. The people of the world are more shrewd in dealing with the world than the people of the light. And meanwhile, right, all that cultural change, all of that shift, everything we consume in television, in music, in media, the things that we see on social media, they're all pushing things in one direction or another. And when the culture shifts away from God, you will see the formation of laws that are against God. Do you understand what I'm saying? Right? So we can't just pass laws to fix the issues. We have to go into culture, into every sector of society, begin being the light. And this is what we've been talking about at the Prophetic Voice of Our Time. We're not just called to be the light in our church services. We've got to be the light at our schools, in science and technology, in politics, in the medical industry, in the finance industry. We need Christians that hear the voice of God, obey him, and understand how the system works and how to replace it with God's system. And we need those people in every sector of society. Now, you might be wondering, okay, we're not supposed to copy the tactics of the world, right? Just like the shrewd manager, he was dishonest. He was not faithful with what was given to him, right? But we're still supposed to be wise and cunning like serpents. And this is where that kind of balance comes in that Jesus mentions, right? He gives the disciples power and authority to cast out demons, to lay hands on the sick and see that they'll recover. And then he said to them, right, I am sending you out like sheep among wolves. And this is what it's like for you now. If you're going into the financial industry or into the media industry, right, in Hollywood, there's a lot of wolves out there. And now you're an innocent sheep that's, you know, a follower of Jesus Christ, and now you're like a sheep going out among those wolves. Do you understand what I'm saying? Then he says, therefore, be as shrewd as snakes and as innocent as doves. So you got to be both shrewd and cunning like a snake, and you also have to be innocent like a dove. So that means, right, we're not bribing people. We're not lying to people. We're not being dishonest and all these things, but we still have to be cunning. So you might be asking, well, Josh, what does that even look like, right? How do I be cunning in this manner while still being innocent like a dove? The first thing to understand what this looks like is we have to understand that we are operating in a different kind of system. We're operating in the kingdom of God. Now, as Christians, we have a unique advantage. We have access to the Holy Spirit. And Jesus said, right, I'm sending you the counselor who will teach you everything I've been teaching and more. He will teach you all things, okay? That means that the Holy Spirit is not just going to teach you, you know, how to read your Bible. It's not going to just teach you things about the scriptures. He's going to teach you all things. The Holy Spirit can teach you about investments and real estate and technology. Think about Daniel. The scripture says that God blessed Daniel. He gave Daniel knowledge and wisdom and understanding. And when the king of Babylon inspected Daniel and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, it says that he found them to be 10 times wiser than the wisest men in Babylon. Not just among the other Hebrew captives that were trained to serve the king. In the entire nation of Babylon, Daniel and the other three Hebrews were found to be 10 times wiser. That is like us in this day being smarter than the smartest financial analysts, real estate investors, scientists, inventors, being 10 times smarter than the people that graduated from Columbia and Yale and Harvard because you got with the Spirit of God and heard from Him. The first step, one, is you have to involve the Holy Spirit in your business dealings and financial dealings. That is the first step, first and foremost. And the second step here, we can see actually in Genesis chapter 30. Now, in this scenario, we have Jacob, who has been taken advantage of by his uncle Laban, right? Laban keeps changing his wages. He tricked Jacob into working for him for 14 years instead of 17 years. And nonetheless, Jacob was still a good worker. But now Jacob comes up with this plan. He approaches Laban. He says, look, I've been working for you for a long time. I want to leave and go with my family. Okay. And Jacob knows that he's making Laban rich. So it says in Genesis chapter 30, verse 25, Jacob says to Laban, send me on my way so that I may go back to my homeland. Give me my wives and children for whom I have served you, and I will be on my way. For you know how much work I've done for you. But Laban said to him, if I have found favor in your eyes, please stay. I have learned by divination that the Lord has blessed me because of you. He added, name your wages, I will pay them. Now, this is a really interesting precedent because Laban knows Jacob is making him rich. That means that Jacob is really good at his job. Okay? If there was, you know, a sheep herder among sheep herders, Jacob was your guy. Okay? He was the best at his job and he made Laban really, really wealthy. And so much so, you know, Laban's going doing witchcraft and divination and all these things. And they're telling him, look, you're getting rich because of Jacob. Okay? So Jacob understands his position. So Jacob says to him, you know, I've worked hard for you and how your livestock have fared under my care. The little you had before I came has increased greatly, and the Lord has blessed you wherever I have been. But now, when may I do something for my own household? What shall I give you? Laban asked him. Don't give me anything, Jacob replied. But if you will do this one thing for me, I will go on tending your flocks and watching over them. Let me go through all your flocks today and remove from them every speckled or spotted sheep, every dark-colored lamb, and every spotted or speckled goat. Those will be my wages. And my honesty will testify for me in the future. Whenever you check on the wages you have paid me, any goat in my possession that is not speckled or spotted, or any lamb that is not dark-colored, will be considered stolen. And Laban agrees to these terms. So Jacob separates all the spotted and speckled goats, right? Hey, Laban, you can have all the pretty ones, the ones that look so perfect and so great. I'll just take the ones here that are not as nice. They got some spots here. They got some streaks here. Those will be my wages. And notice, he told Laban not to pay him, right? These will be my wages. I'll just take the extra sheep, the ones that got the spots and the speckles. So to Laban, this probably seemed like a good deal, right? Okay, I don't got to pay you anymore, and you're just going to take the spotted sheep. That sounds good to me. Now, Jacob takes it a step further, and if you read further on, what happens is that he starts taking branches and putting straight streaks and spots. Every place that they were mating, he put a bunch of spots and speckles and things everywhere, to where everywhere the sheep turned, they just see a spot and a speckle. And, you know, they go over here, they drink some water, and there's a bunch of spots and speckles around them. And when there was a healthy sheep, oh yeah, he made sure that they were surrounded by spots and speckles. When there was a weak or kind of, you know, sickly looking sheep, he removed all of them. So it's this funny thing I was talking earlier about Hollywood. Here, Jacob is implementing subliminal messaging on his sheep, right? The sheep that he want to give birth to spotted and speckled sheep, he's literally showing them spots and speckles everywhere they turn. And then the ones that he doesn't want to do it, he removes all the spots and speckles. So, you know, it's funny how the Bible says there's no new thing under the sun. Jacob was doing subliminal messaging before Hollywood was, if you didn't know that. Now, as a result of this, all of the healthy sheep gave birth to spotted and speckled sheep. And Jacob became more and more rich, to such a way he became even richer and more prosperous than Laban did. And this is an example of dealing shrewdly. But where did Jacob even get this idea? Where did he come up with this concept of, oh yeah, I'll just get the spotted and speckled sheep and you can keep the regular ones? Well, in Genesis chapter 31, Jacob reveals to his wives that he saw it in a dream that the Lord revealed to him about seeing all the spotted and speckled sheep. Jacob says of Laban that if Laban had said the speckled ones will be your wages, then all the flocks would have given birth to speckled young. And if Laban had said that the streaked ones will be your wages, then all the flocks would have given birth to streaked young. So God has taken away Laban's livestock and given them to me. Right? So Jacob understood that this was the hand of God upon his life. And he says this, in the breeding season, I once had a dream in which I looked up and saw the male goats mating with the flock and that they were streaked, spotted, or speckled. The angel of God said to me in a dream, Jacob, look up and see that all the male goats mating with the flock are streaked, speckled, or spotted, for I have seen all that Laban has been doing to you. And this goes back to that first step. The vision comes from God. Jacob caught the vision from the Lord. He got it in a dream. And then he began working towards that vision that God gave him. He understood, okay, I'm going to have to negotiate with Laban. I'm going to have to make my case that I'm going to need to get the speckled and spotted sheep. He understood how to use his position as leverage to convince Laban to give him the spotted and speckled sheep. So for all of us, we have to first and foremost get with the Holy Spirit. You need to begin involving the Holy Spirit in your business and financial dealings. And when the Holy Spirit gives you direction, you need to use your influence and resources to work towards building that vision that the Holy Spirit gave you. And such a cool thing about this is that since the Holy Spirit's going to give you revelation concerning these things, in the world, they may not even recognize the value of it. And so you'll be able to negotiate better. You'll understand, okay, God said that this was important. So I need to make sure that this is there, right? In this contract, that's going to be there. This other stuff, that's gravy. As long as this piece that the Holy Spirit said was important is there, that is the most important part, right? So in a way, we actually have an advantage over the world because we have the Holy Spirit and the Holy Spirit can guide you concerning these things. I'm expecting now that among you that are hearing the sound of my voice now, God intends to raise up people that right now, the world has no idea who you are. But God wants to raise you up so that you can influence culture to being more like Christ. And if each of us is the body of Christ, one of us is the hand, the foot, you know, the shoulder, each of us begin working as one team towards establishing the kingdom of God. Some of us to the finance, some of us to the arts, some of us to politics, some of us to education, wherever it is that God sends you. If all of us begin doing this, you will see the United States of America transformed from within. We have to begin walking it now. Now, as I said before, in Matthew chapter 10, right, Jesus gave his disciples authority to drive out impure spirits, heal diseases, and cast out demons, all this stuff. And he said, I'm sending you out as sheep among wolves and be as cunning as a snake and as innocent as a dove, right? Do not compromise your values to accomplish this, but you should still be wise and cunning. Don't let people pull the wool over your eyes. You should understand what's happening, right? If you are doing investments, anything with money, you should understand what's going on there. Okay, now when Jesus, before he ascended into heaven, what happened? He said, now go, just like he said to the disciples, I'm sending you out, right? Go, I am sending you out to go into all the world to make disciples of all nations. So with that same mandate that now Jesus has given to us, the church, we are supposed to go out into the world like sheep among wolves and be wise, cunning, but also innocent, holy, and pure. The time of us fumbling around trying to get something accomplished is over. There is a whole new church that is being risen up in this day, and it's really, really exciting. So I hope you guys got something out of this because I'm out of time. But I want to thank you so much for tuning in. And reminder, Pastor Christy is in the Philippines now. So if the Lord is leading you to support that mission, I encourage you to go to our website, sogmi.org, and hit the donate button. Again, my name is Joshua Sasso. and you've been listening to the prophetic voice of our time.
Thanks for tuning in. You've been listening to the prophetic voice of our time. We really hope you were blessed by today's episode. And if you were, we want to hear from you. You can call us at 210-695-1630. Or you can email us at sogmi@outlook.com. That's sogmi@outlook.com. And we really encourage you to visit our website, sogmi.org. That is sogmi.org. That's where you can listen to previous episodes of this podcast and even support this broadcast. We're supported by listeners just like you. So if you want to support this ministry, you can go to sogmi.org and hit the donate button. You can also send a check to P.O. Box 1579, Helotes, Texas 78023. Again, that is P.O. Box 1579, Helotes, Texas 78023.